He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin. This is Car Keys.
And maybe we'll see gas prices decline on Northwest Corner this week as the price of oil was plummeting prior to the broadcast hour here. And it has reached a price lower than I've ever seen it, I think, during my lifetime, although maybe I didn't know anything about it back in last century when it was gas was 32 cents a gallon or something like that in Florida where I was in college. There's a good chance that gas prices should come down. However, and I saw them with the big gas companies' gas pricing at $2.219 in Pittsfield, Mass. Over the weekend for regular. Diesel is down to $2.75 in Plum Places back up in Pittsfield, which seems to be a nice, inexpensive place to buy gas if you have to go north to Vermont and want to take the scenic route. It has not gone down too much in this corner, but it has gone down to $2.45, I think, in one place. But we do have somewhat of a monopolistic hold on the major gas brands in our northwest corner.
How is it done in Fairfield County?
Fairfield County is higher.
Right, as always, it always has been.
There are the discount boys in some towns in Westchester County or in Fairfield County, where they are actually as close to the prices in New Milford as prices can be, and they're lower in New Milford than they are up here as well. There's always a gas war going on. It may be partially affected by the buying clubs' gas pricing, although once you get out of the immediate area of the two buying clubs that are in Brookfield, the prices do escalate by 10 or 15 cents a gallon at the going through New Milford.
And one should never forget Route 22.
There are a couple places.
Well, you can always go to the Shell station and
The last good price war I saw was in Winsted a couple of weeks ago.
You did see a good one in Winsted.
I saw prices under $2.20 in the center of Winsted with that new gas station.
That was cash. You got to remember there was cash and credit. And there's now this new one that says same price, cash or debit. And that's sort of a play on the words.
You've got to read carefully.
You've got to read carefully. And it doesn't
you see
say
the
cash or credit.
Actually, in some pumps, it makes a difference. If you run a debit card as a credit, which you can do, you'll pay the credit price. And if you run it as a debit, you will pay the debit price.
And people are paying attention so closely. I'm just wondering what the spread is on that.
I don't think people are paying any attention to that. With oil at under $33 a barrel as of broadcast time and theoretically still going down, there's a good chance that heating oil and gasoline prices should be low for at least a week or so until the big companies get together and figure a way to start getting it to go up again.
One of the jobs I always wanted was to be the person who makes up the reason for the things going up or down, because there's still tankers full of oil floating around.
Well, there's oil. We're floating in oil. That's one part of the problem.
But we've been floating in
oil. We've been floating in it for months. We've talked about on this show the pricing has never been related to the actual supply. It's related to news stories about whether or not a petroleum company is down for maintenance, or whether a gas line or oil line has been bombed in the Middle East, and there's spikes all the time. And you notice the spikes happen immediately, the reductions happen slowly. And nothing is more true than our watching it on broadcast corner in our immediate northwest corner towns about getting the price to sort of creep downward. It is now 10 cents above what it is for the same corporate companies in Tarlington, at a minimum, 10 cents difference.
But there's that same corporate, shall we call it, mentality in Fairfield County as well.
I think there may be a supplementary tax in Fairfield County. I've never actually pursued that thought. But there are places in New York State, for example, when you go to Kingston, the gas stations on the east side of the river, Hudson, we're talking about, are considerably higher than the gas prices on the west side. And I think you're in different counties, or I'm not sure.
So that's a county tax.
Well, it could be a county tax, and it could be a Fairfield County tax, too, for all I know. But Fairfield County has always been really considerably higher than elsewhere in Connecticut.
My point.
And your point is well taken. But anyways, it'll be good for a while for us who like to shop gas.
It'll be
prices.
Good till our next show. So let's
at least it'll be good till our next show. That's a good point, too. So, Jay, you have some things to talk about, I think, so I'll turn it over to you.
Well, excuse me. I was following last week's show where I got kind of blasted for my lack of knowledge of car design or appreciation of car design. I went back and started thinking about cars that over the years I liked.
Were you correctly blasted? I didn't think.
My lack of appreciation of car design was pointed out, and you know, there are cars that I really like, and they're not necessarily the ones I drive, but over the years, you know, since the 70s, I've been looking at cars that I like, and when I look back, you know, that's when I started appreciating cars when I was a kid. I came to realize that a lot of these cars had a thing in common, and that was the designer. And over the years, there are a handful. And there are, you know, maybe 10, 12 designers over the last 50 years that have really made a real impact on car design. And
they move within the industry, I find.
They move within.
They start out with
absolutely.
One brand, and then 5 years and later they leave.
And
like
to go in the order and disorder.
A little,
you know,
bit like coaches.
I have notes here, but... you're looking at current car design that I think is going to be fabulous in the next few years is Hyundai's Genesis brand.
Well, and I that mentioned may, that brand
yeah.
last week.
And it may actually be – they have the head of design at Genesis is a guy by the name of Luc Donkerwolk. He's a Belgian who is somewhat in his – he's in his 50s now. And this guy started his career at VW – and actually designed, at a very young age, designed the Lamborghini Diablo, the Lamborghini Gallardo. So basically, you know, iconic hypercars, and that are still, you know, that made an impact in young boys' minds at the time and posters on the walls. And now is at Hyundai. And interestingly, and alongside another designer who's a German designer by the name of I think Peter Schreier, and that they both worked together at VW and Audi in the mid to late 90s, and Schreier is the head of design at Kia and is responsible for a lot of the Kia designs in recent years, and Kia's had some very nice, sharp looking cars. Whether you look at the Kia sedan, the Optima. If you look at the SUV Telluride, those are very sharp looking cars.
You can tell when that the focus stops being from tin can into there's a real transition into design.
And if you look at the style, you can see the style. Yes, there's a brand style. You know, every brand tries to develop a style that carries on. You know, past a particular designer, but guys like Donkerwolk and Schreier have made an impact at Audi. And for instance, some of the cars that Audi came out with in the late 90s and through the 2000s were beautiful cars. And these two guys are now at Hyundai and Kia. And Genesis, that's part of the same group. And then you think, okay, well, those cars are sharp looking. And we were saying last week, you know, all cars are good, which pretty much they are. What sets them apart? And design is one of those things. And you know, Hyundais and Kias and Genesis, I think, are really looking very, very sharp these days.
I agree. I said on last week's show, I went through the Hyundai dealership, and I actually like and they are a Genesis dealership, the Hyundai dealer in Torrington. Not all Hyundai dealers are Genesis dealers. The Hyundai dealer that I last purchased my Hyundai from is no longer a Genesis dealer. They had a Genesis G something or other on their lot for about 2 years that they weren't able to sell, and probably somebody could have gotten a superb buy, but they are not a licensed Genesis dealer like Torrington's Hyundai dealer is. So again, you have the old issue of where do you go to find a Genesis now if you want to, because the number of Genesis dealers is probably 50% of the number of Hyundai dealers, although they're trying to start more standalone Genesis dealers around. I think it's short-sighted for the company to do that, because I know they want to separate it, but
I think Genesis got off to a bad start, and I think Robin and I were both agreeing that it would not, the brand would not take off like Lexus did 20 years ago. I have to say I'm a little more optimistic now, and I think, you know, Genesis coming out with an SUV and the second generation of the G80, which was their first Genesis branded model, I think they do have a shot at taking off. They're good cars. They're going to look sharp.
Do you think that it matters that they should have standalone dealers? And I'm thinking in my mind, going way back, your Lincoln Mercury dealer, which was to be separated from your Ford dealer.
Exactly.
I think it's
it's a corporate issue that I can't really comment
recent
on.
Experience in the last 10 years shows that. I mean, if you look at what Fiat Chrysler did with you know, the Fiat brand, they basically forced their dealers to
develop independent showrooms,
and
for the Alfa and the Fiat, they ended up.
And a lot of those guys are really feeling the pain now, because you don't see a lot of Fiats on the road. So,
and you see even fewer Alfas on the road, and some of the dealerships, there's one up outside of Southborough, Massachusetts, that is a big Chrysler Dodge Jeep dealership, and they've got their standalone, originally Fiat showroom, and it's now a standalone Fiat Alfa showroom, and they've got a lot of cars there, but they're not. There's nobody in there looking at the cars, and they had to pay to build that building, and it's probably a $750,000 building.
Are there still? I know there are in Jersey what I would call an auto mall, whereas on one side it's a this, and on the next side it's a that.
Yeah, and a lot of times it's the same group of dealerships, and the dealerships are owned by the same
multi-brand corporation.
Whether it's Penske, CarMax, or one of the big.
And Lincoln's going through the same issue now with their Ford dealerships about whether or not they would allow Ford dealerships to have Lincoln branded right next door, where they want them a little standoffish. I think you're talking the big cities like L.A., Scottsdale, Arizona, Dallas, Texas, that kind of thing. It's a different kind of situation than being up here in rural America and in the Northeast, where you have a lot of dealerships out in the outside of the cities, and they're certainly not as well funded or capitalized as the big dealers are, because they don't sell as many cars per year in order to be able to afford the expensive costs of putting up a separate building if they want to try to be a Lincoln dealer, for example, or a Lexus dealer, or the like.
Which is sort of funny, considering the people who drive in, I'm thinking of New York City, for example, are, you know, they're able to pay high price, but it's like what they usually have drivers. The car isn't as utilitarian, shall we say, as it is in New Jersey.
Well, next week, move on.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I want to move away from that last topic and discuss VW for a minute, because VW is, Jay and I have off and on discussed VW, and is VW lost in the U.S. versus Europe? I don't know, but we know the Volkswagen Golf line of cars has been usually had three or four models topped off by the GTI, and the GTI was the performance version of the Golf, and it's now going to become the entry-level Golf line of vehicles over the course of this year and into next year. There's only going to be two models of the Golf line of cars. It's going to be called the GTI and then the R version. And that's all we're going to have after a long history of the Rabbit.
If I may jump in, Volkswagen's recent history has obviously been
watered down.
In turmoil. I mean, it has
been in turmoil.
The company's had major issues all relating to Dieselgate, and Volkswagen has made the very bold decision to really emphasize their future on the development of electric vehicles. and, you know, there are hiccups in that process, and certainly I forget the name of the first car that's going to hit the U.S. market, but it's an SUV, of course. The first car to hit the European markets will be the ID.3, which should be coming out right about now, and it's supposed to be a mainstream car like the Volkswagen Golf was, and let's remember that historically the Volkswagen Golf was the replacement to the Beetle, and it was a huge change. I mean, when Volkswagen came out with the Golf, the Beetle had been the car, the most produced car in the world. The engine sat in the back. It was still air cooled, and now they come out with this little box that's not round. That's a box with the engine in front wheel drive, and little did we know that it would become, if not the best-selling car in the world, one of the, and certainly the best-selling car in Europe for many years. By the way, linking this back to design, that was a Gio Giaro design, who is the designer who's still alive now, who's designed a bunch of both iconic sports cars and cars like the Golf.
Quick question. How long did it take for people to adjust?
Very quickly. The Golf took off like immediately. And in Europe, the GTI came out only 2 years after the Golf came out. I think the Golf came out in 74. The GTI came out in 76. And it was a huge hit. It was, it had a lot of performance in a little box. At a very good price.
Yeah.
In the U.S., we ended up with a watered-down version produced in Pennsylvania. It was called just the GTI. There was no Golf in front of it. There was no Rabbit, because the Rabbit, forget this part. The Rabbit was marketed as
the entry-level Golf.
Was the Golf here in the U.S.
Right.
So now I think, I read that too. VW is limiting production of the Golf to the GTI and the R. And I think they're trying to just make the Golf a little more upscale. Maybe because they can't sell the Golf at prices that Americans are willing to pay for little cars, for compact cars. So they have to be high-end cars, and the only way to make, if you're going to make a high-end Golf, use the GTI and the R.
I agree. I think that the sales of the Golf are falling, along with lots of other passenger-level cars, to the crossover craze, whereas the GTI and the R are the performance additions, which are still very popular with the youth of today who are coming on and buying cars, we hope, but not the older people who are into the SUV land.
The people close to you, and I say close to you location-wise, who drive a four-door Golf R with a manual transmission.
Right.
This is a very adult woman.
Correct.
And when I see the car in the parking lot, I go, kudos to her. I mean,
it's
a great car. It's a $40,000 car. It's inconspicuous.
Yet it goes like hell.
Yes,
it does. And it's fun to drive. And those cars are becoming more and more scarce, I think. And, it's like my report on the Mazda CX-3 as an alternative to the Golf GTI, not the Golf R, but the Golf GTI version. I had never driven a Mazda CX-3 until a friend of mine got one. And it's really a good alternative, but there are fewer and fewer of these cars out there. You've got Subaru with their sports car, the two-door coupe, and the Toyota variant of it.
Due for an upgrade, by the way.
Correct. And the new BMW Z4 is out now, and that's twinned with a Toyota version. The Toyota has a BMW engine in it.
Speaking of car design, Super. That is one new car that I cannot wrap my head around.
The new BMW.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
And some people love it. And same with the Toyota, by the way. And who am I to say?
I don't know. I obviously haven't seen it, because when I saw the Prius the Prius, whatever you want to call it, redesign improvement, I was very definitive. So I
right.
So that's why
that's
I'm
a good
saying,
word.
I obviously,
very definitive, yeah.
I obviously haven't seen it yet.
Well, these two cars we just last are mentioning are very scarce on the road and are not going to be any big sellers anytime soon, because two-door cars are really another design factor that is limiting.
Back to design for a second. I still think the Model 3 Tesla is one of the sharpest looking car right now in the market.
I agree.
And so I went back and looked at who had designed the Teslas originally. And the Tesla Model S was actually designed by, I always have to read his first name, Henrik Fisker, who had his own
design car.
Even I remember that. Yeah.
Remember that it was a hybrid?
Yeah.
It was going to be a Fisker automobile, and there still is.
There still is, and they're trying to
re-engineer it.
So, and if you look at the Fisker and you look at the Tesla Model S,
you see, that's what's so wonderful about determining to notice those things, because
But again, I think design... sharp design, good design does help in getting a brand or a model off the ground. And, if
it stands out properly from the rest, that it will get off the ground, along with the value structure that's in the corporate Hyundai structure of introducing cars, given the success of the Palisade and the Telluride, which are in short supply, I understand. Partly because production has been interrupted by the virus situation worldwide. But the rumor at the Kia dealerships is that they come off the truck and they're off the lot in 24 hours virtually. So
it's always nice when that happens.
Both those vehicles, which are large level Atlas-sized crossovers, are basically, we got awards for Vehicles of the Year, Motor Trend, I think, issued it. To one of them, the Kia Telluride, I think, won their large SUV of the year award for this coming year as a model car. So, and I've seen several of them on the road up in Vermont recently, and as far as I know, they're, you're getting the equivalent of, what is the Cadillac equivalent, the Cadillac model that you would get if you didn't buy a Telluride or a Palisade, not the Escalade.
I don't know. Are there other models that matter?
They're $20,000.
Actually, there are
a new Cadillac,
of Cadillacs coming out. With the problem is you can't tell them apart, and you don't know what the names are, because it's XT4, XT5, CT4,
XT numbers.
But the design is pretty cool, and they've gone from this vertical front lights to the horizontal front lights. And at first, I thought, they're losing their
identity,
but they're making another statement. I don't know that the lights in back are going to go vertical, but horizontal.
Lights in back are vertical, I think.
Yeah, they're not going horizontal anytime soon.
They are very vertical. We are running out of time.
Well, I would like
a safety tip of the week.
I don't have any tips per se, except that I have a few cold facts to come out with, and I think that should be enough to think a little bit and figure out what the tips may be.
Fact one is,
we know about under 40,000, between 35 and 40,000 deaths a year in car crashes. And I was surprised that only 10% of the accident of those fatalities seem to be distracted driving related. There's probably more than that, but in the distracted driving, we know that phone usage is a
major
contributor. Yes. Interestingly, there are facts like 77% of adults versus only 55% of teens believe that they have the skills to drive while texting. Okay, great. The older we are, the better we are at multitasking and using phones. Okay, great. I'm not quite so sure about that.
Half a minute.
Well, pets, other distractions, pets, kids. In a 16-minute ride with kids, like typical ride to school, 3.5 minutes of the driver, the parent usually, time is spent off with the eyes off the road, taking care of the kids or looking after the kids,
And then there's eating and applying makeup. There's all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, all sorts of stuff. So it's not just cell phone usage. It's focused on the driving. Music is another factor. Anyway.
There you go. He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Key.